from the high desert and the great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert. I bid you all good evening. It's going to be a different kind of show because our guest could not get it going. We were to have a guest, Andrew Bashago, and he couldn't get it going right. His Skype connection had a big hum in it, and his emergency backup number, unfortunately, was a cell phone, so that's just sort of not happening. What is happening is open lines, and that means anything in the world you want to talk about. However, I am going to do a little bit of a setup. I was going to do this Friday, but now I'm going to do it tonight. First, the rules of the show. No bad language. Only one call per show. We're so easy. Just two rules total. The thank yous go to Telos. Great sound. By the way, we are making tiny little tweaks and adjustments in the audio. So if you hear it slightly changing day to day, and you're going to hear a pretty big change, actually, in the programs that you're able to download, making a change there as well. So, you know, tweaks as we go along here with a brand new network. Keith Rowland, my webmaster of two decades, my producer, Heather Wade, the Belgab website, they're great people until they're not. That's why I call them vaguely lovable, just vaguely. People love Art Bell and MidnightInDesert.com. Stream guys, they get it to you. LV.net gets it to them. And our sales guy, Peter Eberhardt, really a cool dude. If you want to advertise, it really works well here because we have so few ads, frankly. And so because of that, your ad gets all kinds of exposure. Well, okay. Let's review a couple of things that have happened during the day before I sort of launch with what I think we might do. You know, on open lines nights, I never know. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to open a special line tonight in case my time traveler, the one of written fame, we were going to have a time traveler on tonight, but the one of written fame would like to call in. That number would be... Well, let's see, which one do I want to use? Well, let me decide about that. I've got a number of numbers that I can use for a time trial. No, here it is. I will use, it says here in fine, well, I still don't know. I'll pick one of them. All right, huge explosions. I'm sure you saw this, right? Overnight at a warehouse for dangerous materials in the northeastern Chinese port city of Tianjin, killed at least 13 so far, probably more, injured hundreds. It actually looked mostly like a nuclear detonation, frankly. Pretty serious stuff, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more hurt. Former President Jimmy Carter announced that he has been diagnosed with cancer. I'm so sorry to say, in a brief statement issued Wednesday, recent liver surgery revealed that the cancer is now in other parts of my body. That does not sound good for Jimmy Carter, not good at all. And I want to take a moment to note the passing of Ann Streber, Whitley Streber's wife. I am so, so sorry. Ann passed cancer after a long illness. I spoke with Whitley earlier today, and when this kind of thing happens, you know, there really are not words. I know. People say all kinds of words to you, and there is nothing that works. So please note and have a thought for Ann Streber, who passed. Okay, I do have a photograph on the website that I would like you to examine. It's pretty odd stuff, I would say. It's a UFO video captured, you're going to love this, captured by Homeland Security. Of all people to capture a UFO, they did. they caught it on film, and they are analyzing it. It exhibited some very, very strange behavior, the object, that is. The source is remaining anonymous, yeah, I can imagine. The officials are assuring us all that the source of this video is, this evidence, they call it, is vetted and identified. That's the source of the video. However, this is a UFO. Now, let's think about this. A UFO captured by Homeland Security. Who was ready for that? Not me. Okay. I'm going to do today what I was going to do Friday. We'll find a guest for Friday. And again, tonight's guest was unable to appear because, well, his Skype audio was full of hum and his other phone was a cell phone, and I'm not doing that. That always ends up, well, like the explosion in China, pretty much. Have you noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a tremendous amount of internet buzz, putting it mildly, about the month of September coming up? This is August, next month, right? Never have I seen, or I think has anybody seen, so much speculation about what would happen in one particular month. Some people believe that we will see an economic collapse next month. No, thank you. I'm still getting over the last one. Others believe that there'll be some sort of historic natural disaster, plenty of those lately. Others are convinced that judgment of God is coming. So take your pick. Right now, large numbers of Americans are stocking up on emergency food and supplies like crazy. I've never seen anything quite like it. Several weeks ago, the belief was expressed that chaos will begin once summer ends. If you look at the political world right now, it's happening now, isn't it? There are, these are the last days. Maybe it's the last days, not of man and not of the earth, but of normal political life in America. People are saying it's the last days of normal life in America. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. A political life. Just about everything that we currently take for granted is about to be shaken. It seems a lot of people lately are having a gut feeling that something really, really big is about to unfold, but nobody knows what it is. Maybe people are feeling that way because of the events that are taking place around the globe right now, from signs in the heavens to military stockpiling, and let's not forget the big military exercise going on, potentially disturbing events. There seems to be a confluence of activity both in the political and spiritual realm, culminating in 2015, causing people's alarms to go off like crazy. Now, maybe backing that up is this. Scientists have predicted that a cataclysmic series of events could occur within the next 30 years. Now, they're not talking about next month, but 30 years, still not far. In a new report released by Lloyd's this week, the university's Global Sustainability Institute in London has outlined its prediction of a global collapse brought about by food and water shortages, energy loss, and a period of prolonged political instability. Maybe they're watching our election. Supported by both the UK and US governments, the report was commissioned for the purpose of assessing the risks associated with food shortages and other issues over the next few decades. Global demand for food is on the rise sharply, driven by unprecedented growth. The world's population is going to surpass 9 billion, really, by 2050? If we make it. To meet the increased demand for food driven by these factors, the FAO, the UN Food and Agricultural Organization, projects that we must more than double global agricultural production by 2050. Holy moly. So, look, it's open lines coming up. I'll have to dig out which line I really want to use. for some special line tonight, because I do want to hear from my the guy who wrote the time travel thing. If he happens to be listening tonight, or happens to be around, or if he time travels, he already knows that I would be doing this, right? So, I think here's what I will use. I'll use what I call my Roswell line for, and I'm particularly looking for a one-time traveler, the one who wrote me the extensive treatise on time travel. It would be the Roswell number, which is area code 575-208-7787. 575-208-7787. Otherwise, I wonder how all of you feel about what's coming. There is a real jitter, a collective jitter going on out there about next month. Now, honestly, I do give some credence to a collective jitter. You know, I think there is such a thing as a community consciousness of some sort. And so it makes sense to me that if something were coming, like animals that sense a predator sneaking slowly up on them, suddenly they know, right? An animal suddenly knows. Human beings are the same way. We're exactly the same way. Perhaps our sense has been dulled just a little bit. You know about that sort of thing? But it's still there. And so if you feel like an animal with something sneaking up on you, then maybe you're part of this what the hell's going to happen in September group. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to open the lines. So here are the numbers, the Art Bell version. Public number, one of them only, area code 952-225-5278. That's area code 952-225-5278, but not the end of the ways to get hold of us. You may also Skype up, as it were. If you have a computer, or you have a cell phone, either Apple or Android, I'm an Apple guy over here, then you can call us. Just put in, open up your iPhone and initiate a new contact and put in MITD51. You don't have to actually call, or you can, MITD51, and then hereafter it will be in your contact list. And you can just turn on Skype on your phone and hit MITD51, and you'll get through. Let it ring until it's answered. If I don't answer, then try again. Keep trying until you get through. Now, outside of North, that number I gave you is for North America, America, and Canada. Outside of those areas, rest of the world, it's MITD55. That's MITD as midnight in Midnight in the Desert, 55, MITD55. We love Skype calls because they sound so good. So what I would like to do now is take a brief break, and when I come back, I'm going to sort of take your temperature, see if you feel this onrush of here comes September and uh-oh.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
take a ride? Your conductor, Art Bell, will punch your ticket when you call 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
This is a song that gets my blood going. I don't know what it is about this song, but the Grassroots did it. I got to introduce him on stage up in Anchorage, Alaska. And it's always done it for me. If I want to get my blood going, man, that thing will get it done, believe me. All right, so once again, our guest tonight, Andrew Basago. I believe that is correct, Basago? Yes, it is correct, Basago. Unable to be here because of multiple sound failures. Too much hum on Skype when I called him, and then the back phone was a cell phone, and of course we don't do that. That's just looking for nuclear problems. But what we are going to probably talk about tonight, although when I, you know, all these lines are blinking, I don't know what awaits, truly I don't, but I'm thinking that you're going to comment on this mass consciousness deal going on the internet, going on, I guess, around the country, and I do give credence to it. I sure do. I think we are like, now, what would I compare it to? Like, I don't know, some animal perched delicately in the forest with a cougar coming up behind it on soft paws, and then at the last minute, it turns and it knows that it's about to be dinner. Not a very good picture to draw, but that's kind of what I'm getting out of this internet buzz out there. Let's start by going to the islands, all the way out to the islands, to Hilo, Hawaii. Hello. Hello, Hilo. I think I've done it right. Yes, I have. Hello, Hilo. Hilo, Hilo. Are you there? Let's try it again. Now you're there. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How's Hilo?
Hilo, actually, we're on the Hamakua coast. But
Just boring old paradise, right?
Yeah, we've got a storm coming our way.
Oh? You mean like a hurricane?
Well, it was a hurricane. I went up to a Category 4 at one point, right?
Good. Not good.
Yeah, it's breaking up, though. It's going a little south, but we're going to see some effects tonight and tomorrow, I'm sure.
A little bit of excitement in paradise.
Absolutely.
So what's up?
Well, you know what? You know, this heart stuff is going on quite a bit. I want to ask Art about what he thinks about that. We've been getting chatter. We've been hearing chatter about this.
Wait a minute. What is it you want to ask Art about?
HARP in CERN.
Whoa, okay. Well, I can start with HARP. All right?
I can
help you out. You don't need Art for that. The deal with HARP is it's being turned over to a university, if you can believe that. The military is saying, okay, we're done. Here you go. University, you take it. That's what's going on. So you don't need to talk to Art for that one. What's the other one?
Well, you know, we got some new videos that have been coming in to us in regards to the HARP issues. And, yeah, obviously, is it still going on as we speak? I don't know. You know, there's a lot of, crazy videos and photographs that we can share with Art.
Really? Well, Art knows quite a bit about HARP. What do these videos show that he doesn't know about?
Well, you know, are you aware of the bullwhip lightning shot that just was pretty much went viral last month?
I think I've seen it, bullwhip lightning shot.
Yeah, it's like a bullwhip lightning. We broke the news on that. We interviewed the guy that shot it.
Wait a minute. Who's we?
Third phase of moon.
Oh, you're a third phase of mooner. Why didn't you say so?
Thought I'd say it when I was asked.
What phase of the moon are we in right now?
We're in the third phase of the moon 24/7, actually.
No, I know you are and your group. I meant what real phase of the moon are we in, actually, right now?
Well, tell them what third phase of the moon means. Well, third phase of the moon, yeah, I'm not quite sure if we could tell you the phase of the moon at the moment. We don't keep an eye on that, but it does arrive.
I heard you leave the phone. You were trying to look outside, weren't you?
No, it's still light out here, and actually it's raining, so we don't have a good look at the sky.
I see. Well, it was a good try anyway.
It was, but third phase of moon describes old Hawaiian legend, and that is when the night marchers come out on the night of the Huakai Po, which means the phase of the moon.
I see. I'll tell you what.
We shared this new video that just came in last night, and it looks, I think it just blow the audience away when they got to look at this.
You think so? Okay, I'll tell you what. You get that one to Art, and then next time you call, I'll put you on with Art.
Sounds good. So when should that be?
Anytime Art's doing open lines.
Okay, so what? Send this video out.
Send it here. I'll give you his email address. It's artbell@artbell.com.
Artbell@artbell.com.
Right.
We'll send it over. Give him the heads up.
I'll do that.
Appreciate it.
No, he's right here. So okay, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Have a wonderful moon phase. Tallahassee, Florida, I believe you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Tallahassee, Florida, with the emphasis on the duh.
Duh, really?
Just curious about where all these people are getting the scary information and predictions about what's supposed to happen in September.
Well, I don't know about September. I know long term that down there in Florida, you guys are going to be wet toast.
I know. And our Florida governor doesn't want anybody to speak of climate change, you know.
Of course not. We're looking at, 2 feet in the next 50 years? So a good portion of, actually, I think, you're up there in the panhandle, right?
Yeah, we'll be kind of high and dry. I'm afraid all the people that live in the Miami area will be coming up here.
Interesting. So many people are trying to get through on Skype. My Skype just said I give up. It didn't say that. It just said it has stopped working. I'm sorry. And people calling on Skype, you're going to have to bring the program up again. That's really weird to get so many calling and it just goes, I give up.
Well, I'm really low tech. I sit at my PC, and when I get tired of that, I use my flip top cell phone and put it on speaker and use the dial-in number. So.
Gotcha. Anyway, you'll be probably even there waiting around and under a little bit of water. It's going to be rough in Florida. It really is.
Yeah, I know. It already is in other ways. Anyway, I just wondered where people are getting this information.
Well, that's, I think, why I'm talking about it, because, you know, this is all over the Internet.
I know.
And I don't know, but I feel like I have to pay attention to it. You know, you heard me describe the animal in the woods, right, with the predator sneaking up on it? It's a little like that. And when all these people are feeling this, you can't ignore it.
Well, I'm not afraid, and I believe that people shouldn't spread the fear. Just go with the flow, roll with the punches, be reasonably prepared, and just, you know.
That's an attitude.
See what happens.
Yeah, it's an attitude. And besides, if it happens, what can you do anyway, right?
Right.
I like that. So, good call from Florida. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Stay dry.
Oh, yeah. And positive.
Yeah, positive. Okay. Yeah, the predictions for Florida after sea level rise are pretty dire, frankly. And New York City, too. It'll be under 2, so don't be laughing up there. Laser Cat, hello on Skype.
Laser Cat here in Portland, Oregon, Art. Longtime listener, first time caller.
KXL country, right?
KXL country it is, sir.
All right.
my prediction, what's going to happen in September? Jesse Ventura is going to join Donald Trump in the presidential race.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what I hear, yeah.
I think he's going to go for a woman.
No. He's going to join forces with the body, and the Donald's going to go all the way.
You mark my words. Okay, fine. You and I will have a bet. I say
okay.
He will.
Laser Cat, and you have a bet.
All right. What are we betting? It's probably illegal to bet money, huh?
I was going to say a dollar, but It's only worth maybe 38 cents now. So we'll go with 38 cents.
It's a bet.
Okay.
All right. That way you'll have a 38-cent check from me that you can frame. I don't think Ventura is any possible. I think he'll go for, you know, especially in view of the recent remark that he made, not considered exactly pro-feminine. I think he's going to go for, if he's smart, he'll go for a woman. That's what I say. Hello there. You are on the air.
Hi, how you doing, Art? This is John from Michigan. I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening most of my life. I really enjoy the show.
How old are you?
27.
27, and you've been listening all your life. Wow.
Yeah, most of it that I can remember.
Yep. Do you have any idea how that depresses me?
I'm sorry.
In the crib, you got to hear me, right? Lulled to sleep every night. Yikes.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Okay, so what's on your mind, anyway?
Well, I have a question, but first I'll comment on what everybody's kind of feeling about the whole September deal.
And your comment is?
All
right, so now we've got to hold your comment till after the break. So can you hold on through the break?
Yep, no problem.
Oh, that's good. All right. Stay right where you are. From the high desert, the great American Southwest. Here I am. Open lines. So many people, but you've got no soul, and it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. Wanna take a ride? Exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. This is Midnight in the Desert with your host, Art Bell. To call Art, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART. Well, there are other ways. You guys should see my Skype. It's kind of humorous, actually. If you've never done really multiple Skypes, you should see mine. God, I should take a picture. It looks like 500 Skypes doing a happy dance with the phone, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. A little while ago, it was so bad, it gave up. It just went, this program has stopped working. Back to my caller, and you've had time to collect your thoughts, think about it, and now you can say it. Go ahead.
Hey, Art. Like you said, like the animal in the wilderness, they can kind of tell the storm's coming or the volcano's going to erupt. They just kind of know just been kind of having a feeling that something's going to happen, something big, something's changing. Can't quite put my finger on it, but.
You're one of them. You feel it too.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Can you actually put words to the feeling? I mean, I talked about an animal in the forest, right? And that it could feel a prey coming up. Finally, usually too late, I suppose, but it does feel it. It turns around suddenly and then tries to take off and then is dinner. So, we have that too, a little dulled by modern society, I suspect, but we still have it. You've got that feeling. If you had to make a guess, what do you think is most likely?
I think it's got something to do with the world government. Kind of watching what's going on around the world.
Well, we don't really have a world government unless you want to talk about the UN, and that's hardly any kind of government. You mean the world government taking over?
No, I mean, like, all the different world governments, how things are kind of changing around the world, and, it's kind of something in the air, It's something that it's hard to really put into words, and you just kind of feel it.
All right. It's the best way you just said it. Something in the air. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, okay. I can buy that. Something in the air says it as well as anything else, right? You feel something. You don't quite know what it is, but it's kind of eerie and a little chilling. Yeah, I'm so down with that. All right, let's go to a time traveler. Now, this is a gentleman. I will not tell you where he's calling from, though I can see it if it's true. course, you can fake that kind of thing. He has been sending me messages on Facebook, and I told him next time we have open lines, call in. Tell us you're a time traveler. Are you a time traveler? Hello, sir. Wait a minute. Make sure you're on the air. There you are. Are you a time traveler?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's have it. I'm very critical as I listen to time travelers' stories, you know, so it's got to be good. And what you've written to me was not bad. Let's see what you can do in person. May I begin by asking, are you in the present time? Probably are, calling me, right?
Yes, I'm here. And yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Same day as you are.
Okay. By what method, when you do travel in time, by what method do you accomplish it?
Well, I called your open lines, and I told you I use my motorcycle.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Your motorcycle.
Yes.
All right. Well,
that's
you...
me. That's I can do it walking. I can do it driving in a car. I can do it on a motorcycle. I have never flown in an airplane, so I have no idea if I could or even would want to.
You know, I think time traveling while on a motorcycle is worse than driving and texting, frankly. It just seems like, as I mentioned, I think last time, that you would reappear in another time where they have suddenly built a building. And, I mean, if you're on a motorcycle, that's just not going to be a good day.
Well, you got to kind of, like, know your geography a little bit. You got to kind of use a street that's going to be fairly empty and that you are hoping is going to be fairly empty wherever it is that you go. And then there's sometimes, like, when I went, I was in Arizona, I was on 40, and we were on our way up to Flagstaff. We were in an argument about Teeter in 2036, and we ended up at the rest area. We ended up going to 2036. And, yes, Yellowstone does go poof.
Is it your... What device is it? I mean, normal motorcycles don't get you from here to 2036 or any other year, right?
No, it's me. I don't... let's put it this way.
All right, then if it's you, that's fine. No, hold on. I can go with that. It's you. What is it that you do that enables you to time travel? Describe to us what you do.
Well, some of what I told you in Facebook does not go out, but basically you make a door, you put yourself into your own, what do you want to call it, bubble reality. Some people understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. And then you go to the next side, which is the reality that you want to be
in. Okay. Is this done by your will?
It is. It's done by will. It's done through meditation. You learn how to, you know, when you practice the occult, you learn how to make your own bubble, your own protective shell. Well, it's the same thing. You're making your own little universe inside that bubble.
All right. An obvious question is, and people always want it, I do too, is there a way to prove what you're saying?
Oh, there is, but do you really want that proof?
Well, I think I do.
Do you realize, I was sitting here today thinking about what I was going to talk to you about on Friday. And do you really want that? That's like, be careful what you wish for.
Well, but on the other hand, you know the phrase here, extraordinary claims require what? Extraordinary proof.
Extraordinary proof, exactly. Yeah. And yeah. I understand what I'm saying is totally unbelievable. You don't know me from Adam, and why should you believe anything that I'm telling you?
So that said, what do you got?
A newspaper. I could bring you back a newspaper from 100 years ago. I could bring you back something from World War II.
Wait. You could get a newspaper from 100 years ago. Could be done. Ancient. Could be done. But I'd rather have one from 2036. Give me that. I'll be impressed.
That's spoilers.
It's what?
That would be spoilers. Everything in the newspaper would be things that didn't happen as of yet. And when you get something from the future, it's like reading the last page of a novel before you even start the novel. And it sets everything and it spoils it.
You think? If your article from 2036 says, BlackBerry stock ups 300% in the last year. Now, if it had something like that, besides being unbelievable, it would be a way to get rich, right?
Yeah.
Never mind. Nobody'd believe it anyway. Is there anything you could bring me from 2036 that would be, proof-like?
If I could get my hands on them. Probably. a hoverboard?
A hoverboard? Oh, heck yeah. A hoverboard.
Lexus already released a hoverboard, but it doesn't work unless it's over a sheet of copper.
Did you say Lexus?
And Lexus. You have not seen that yet? You haven't seen the videos?
No. Lexus hoverboard.
Lexus has released a hoverboard. It works now. They make their own parts.
Wait, let's be clear. And is this happening now, or is this happening?
This happens now.
You're giving me current news. No, I hadn't heard it. It's cool, but I thought you were giving me news from 2036.
A hoverboard that actually works without a sheet of copper underneath it to keep it levitating. Like back in the future. A real hoverboard that we would think of as a hoverboard, but we don't have hover cars. Where's our cars? The oil companies won't let that happen.
You mean, do we still have oil companies in 2036?
We still drive the same cars as we did now in 2036, only it's got more computer stuff than you'd believe. Yes.
The same cars?
Yes.
What a disappointing future. I can't tell you. And they still burn gasoline?
They still burn gasoline.
Oh, my God.
There are a few cars out there that do, the very rich have them. Nobody else has them that do fly.
I mean, even today we've got cars powered by electricity, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, well, what can I say?
I'll take what I get. So we still have cars running on gasoline. That's actually depressing. What kind of shape is the U.S. in 2036? Have we revived our infrastructure? Are we like a new country, or is everything still potholes?
2036, things are more like they would have been in Nazi Germany.
What?
What I mean is you have to be very careful of your show does not exist in 2036. Your type of show
be long gone by then.
I'm
thank God based on what I'm hearing.
It's all gone. You have to be very careful. Everybody tells on their neighbor. It's everything that we're scared of losing right now.
That's a pretty horrible future.
Yellowstone.
I see why you're enamored with the past.
Yeah, that's why I love the past.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. Is there anything else that I failed to ask that I should have?
I don't know. You talk to Dr. Jay. He's talked to me extensively. And if I could give a shout-out to the Swamp, hi, guys.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And I'd still be careful on that motorcycle. I'd just really take it easy on that motorcycle. Let's go to our Skype line and say, Peter, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Doing really well. Our guest didn't make it tonight, but you know what? It's okay. I'm so cool with open lines. I love them.
Well, we're glad to have you back and missed you.
Thank you.
For the past couple years.
Thank you.
And the new technology is great. I'm calling in my Skype on my iPhone right now, and couldn't sound better.
See, you're a perfect example of what I've been telling people. If they would put Skype in their phone, this is how you can sound, folks. He's using, what did you say, a 6?
An iPhone 6, yeah.
Yeah. It just sounds like you're sitting right next to me. It is so cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, where are you actually?
I'm in Lewiston, New York, which is north of Niagara Falls. I'm actually out in my backyard right now looking at the Perseids meteor shower.
Uh-huh. You can't tell me the phase of the moon, can you?
Phase of the moon? No, I can't.
No, okay.
It's not up right now.
I see. All right. Well,
and actually, you know what? Try. And you've been talking about time travelers. Well, I kind of have a time machine in my backyard.
See, that's not a line you toss out like that. Hey, I kind of got a time machine in my backyard.
Well,
all right.
I can't time travel, but I can look back through time. I've got a 10-inch telescope.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That qualifies, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose.
Hey, I have a question for you. The other night you had, I think, Sam Friedman and another gentleman on?
Yes.
And who was the gentleman's name that was with Stan?
Oh, I don't know. I have to go back myself.
Well, you know, all these moon deniers, the people that deny that we went to the moon, you know, the question I always have for them never gets asked is, well, then why, if this was faked, why did they fake the Apollo 13?
Actually, it was Jay Wagner.
Okay.
Right? And if you're interested in what he has to say, I believe that he is going to be Richard C. Hoagland's guest either tonight or soon.
Okay.
I bet you did you know that Richard...
Why would they hoax a disaster like Apollo 13?
Well, because if we had nothing but perfect moon missions, people would say, oh, come on, that many perfect missions when there's so much that can go wrong, that's just not believable.
Well, I think we've gone to the moon.
So do I.
Okay. Hey, Art, it's great talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. And, you sound like a good, grounded, sensible person. Have you been hearing all this talk about September?
No.
Oh.
I haven't heard a thing.
I see. Did you hear what I said early in the program?
Yeah, I was listening, but I haven't heard any scuttlebutt.
Oh, man, it's all over the Internet. Trust me.
It is.
Oh, yes. Something heavy bearing down on all of us, whatever.
Anyway, all right, Art. Have a good night.
You have a good night, too, and thank you very much for calling. On the international Skype, you are on the air, I think. Hello.
Is this me?
It is.
Hey, Art Bell. How are you going, mate?
I'm well, mate, and where are you calling from?
Australia, of course.
Australia. Excellent. I was hoping England, so I could brag that I got paid by somebody in London. And, you know, when you get a check, you just throw it, well, I do anyway, I just throw it in the checkbook for the next time I go to the bank. And I thought it was for $390. And I looked down at it when I got to the bank and it said £390. I went, yes! Like 1.45 or something like that, better than dollars.
Yes, a lot better than dollars.
Yeah, how's the Australian dollar doing?
Not good against the American dollar. I think we're buying 60 cents to the dollar, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the world right now, sir. Everybody is so scared that everybody is rushing to the dollar for safety.
Yes, it seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I called about the time traveler thing.
Oh, yes. In what sense? I mean, are you claiming to be one?
I am claiming to be one.
Oh, my. Okay.
Would you like me to get into it?
I absolutely would. A time traveler from Australia? Hell yes. Go.
Yes. I was born 17 hours in the future. So I'm always 17 hours ahead. They call
That's
me
pretty cheesy, sir. I mean, you're referring to the time difference between myself and you?
No, I'm talking about universal timeline.
You're saying, okay, let's use GMT, all right?
Yep.
Are you claiming that you were born 17 hours fully ahead of anybody's time zone?
Correct, yes.
That must be a real problem for you. I mean, how are you even calling me right now?
Well, I'm where I am. I can call and do everything else. It's not until events happen that I get summoned and then sent places.
Okay, events happen, things happen. You get summoned by who?
I can't really give you the name, but yeah, there are three-letter, actually.
It's a three-letter agency.
Four-letter agency.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm like a contractor. I get probably five or six calls a year.
Uh-huh. So like a time contractor, right?
Yeah, a time contractor.
All right,
exactly.
Hold on. I got a break. We'll be right back. Open lines from the high desert.
Are best handled by those that understand how to move in the darkness, like Art Bell. To call the show, please dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
That is the terrestrial telephone number. Skype, North America's MITD 51. That's Midnight in the Desert 51. If you're outside the U.S., totally, like our time traveler from Australia, it's MITD 55, MITD 55. And, of course, it's a free call on Skype. And, okay, Mr. Time Traveler from Australia, you're back on the air.
Hello.
Oi.
Oi.
All right, so what else can you tell us about time travel from your perspective that we should know?
There's nothing on my timeline that's any different to the timeline that everyone else is living on. It's quite hard to explain, but I was born 17 hours in the future, and so basically time catches up to where I am.
Out of curiosity, how old are you in, you know, linear years?
I'm 31. I was born the 29th of August, 1985.
See, I was wondering, if you were, the moment you were born, you sprung that many hours into the future, you must have literally jumped out of some doctor's hand.
I was born on base.
On base?
On base.
Military?
And I grew up in Alice Springs, so that's sort of the only clue I'll give some savvy people.
Oh. Okay. What else can you tell us about your method of time travel?
Basically, I get flown around just like a normal person gets on a plane and flies somewhere.
Right.
Yet I arrive before the event.
And your job is?
I'm called a fixer.
A fixer. So something obviously has gone wrong in the timeline. Through somebody else's error or some other time traveler screwing up or just history going the wrong way, sideways or something. And is that it?
It's usually the former, yeah. It's usually it's left up to just normal terrestrial people just making the wrong decision and
I see.
And shaking things up a little bit, yeah.
And so you fix these things and time flows smoothly.
So I wouldn't say smoothly, but it flows differently.
Differently. That's the way to put it, I guess. Yes. Do you like your work?
I love my work, yes. It's been a lifelong thing. I didn't get employed or I won't get fired. I was born into it.
Right.
Literally born into it.
I get it.
Yeah.
Your work never involves, well, wet work, does it?
No, not at all. I occasionally stop a bit of wet work. That's a fair bit of my job, actually.
I see. So in other words, you prevent wet work, saving lives.
Saving lives, yeah.
But haven't you ever wondered that if you go back and you save somebody's life who otherwise would be killed, they might go on to become another Adolf Hitler?
Have you done? I have thought about that a lot, but really? The intel I get like a pack, and it tells me just a brief about where I'm going and why, and usually what I'm stopping is a pretty bad event. So you know, when I weigh it up, it's usually.
Yeah. Okay. So in other words, those who send you back really know what needs to be done, so that it all correct. Turns out okay. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yes. Do you know the actual method they use? I mean, you say it's like flying, but I mean, you must get in some kind of machine, right?
No, as far as I'm aware, this all happened in this facility. I was born into the future. So when I get sent to say Venezuela, mm-hmm. I'll go to the airport. I'll get a ticket,
yes,
and then I'll get on a plane with normal passengers and land in Venezuela.
Okay. Has the Australian government shared this with their American brothers?
This is the agency I referred to would have to give the government certain things, but they would have no idea the full extent of it, no.
All right, one more quick question. We're discussing this feeling that so many people have about September. Being a time traveler, you probably would know, even if you cannot disclose, if something really, really big is about to happen soon.
I get my assignments less than a day before, so the 17 hours is crucial.
I've got
it.
So
if something were to go wrong, I've got 17 hours to fix it.
Do you want to give us a name so that in the future I might recognize you, other than your accent?
Just call me Jay.
Jay? Yeah. Jay, the time traveler from Australia. Jay, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And actually, you sounded pretty good, frankly. I kind of like that one. I don't know why. You get a sense about these things. Some of them, you know, I'm going, eh. He sounded, for an Aussie, pretty normal. That's the best way to put it, huh? Hello there on Skype. No, I guess you're not on the air. This poor person gave up just before I went. Here she is. I believe it's Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
How you doing?
Well, you don't sound like an Amanda.
Doing today, Art?
No,
it's my wife. This is my wife.
Amanda is your wife?
Yeah, this is my wife's Skype.
Okay, all right.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Okay,
I'm 33 now.
Okay, you're gonna whoa. You're gonna have to get good and close to the microphone on your computer.
Okay.
Because you're breaking up a little bit here.
Can you hear me now?
I do.
Okay. Like I said, I'm 33. I've been listening to you since I was 12, Art. So, long time listener, first time caller.
Yes, sir.
I've been having some weird stuff going on in my house, I've never had this stuff happen before. And when I mean weird stuff, I'm hearing taps, knocks, lights turning on and off by themselves.
Really?
Yeah. And the taps. The weird thing about the taps is, I'm an online gamer, so
I could swear I heard something.
They've heard the taps through the microphone. I don't do it now. It freaks me out every time it does it. Me and my son was sitting in here like 3 days ago in my living room, and lights down the hallway were turning on and off.
And not good.
So, I mean, they're not, I don't know if they're hostile, I don't know if they're mean, but. Well, and it's not an old property, it's only been here since 92. So.
You'll know, sir, soon, sir. You know, you're wondering if they're hostile. You're hearing knocks and you're hearing bangs. Yes, you'll know soon. It may be no more than pieces of you that will be able to tell whatever forensic story we can piece together.
Appreciate
I shouldn't joke about this. It could be very serious.
As of right now, like I said, I mean, they haven't done anything to me or any of my kids, but I mean, it's just,
well,
the knocking and the lights turning on, you know.
All right. Well, so this could be like a poltergeist.
Possibly, yes.
Generally, a poltergeist usually doesn't go really nuts. They just drive you nuts doing the kinds of things you're talking about right now, and they really don't go any further. So if that makes you feel any better?
well, maybe.
I do understand. There's stuff out there to scare you. There's no question about it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, and please call again sometime, if you're able. Sorry about that. I shouldn't say those things. Let's see where to go. Let's again go outside the country and say hello, Mark, wherever you are. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Oh, you are there. Good.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling you from Bern, Switzerland.
Oh, you know what? That makes you my first Swiss. I've got a whole bunch of questions for you, actually. What a cool place to be.
Yeah, it's actually a beautiful city.
I wonder so much about Switzerland. I have never been there. It appears to be a gorgeous place. People say that everybody... Are you a citizen or are you visiting?
I became a citizen 19 years ago.
Really? Do they actually give machine guns to everybody?
if you're in the army, you do get a machine gun. However, it's a semi-automatic. However, you get the ammunition in a tuna fish can, and if you open it, you're in big trouble.
Really? You mean it's like sealed or something? Break this seal, and the Swiss bankers will squish you.
Well, not the Swiss bankers. The Swiss government will squish you.
I figured the bankers had most of the power.
Yeah, I became a citizen at the age of 36, and at that time, Army was required until 42.
Wow.
So I served in the Civil Defense Corps, and I never received a weapon, which is okay for me.
I see. Well, is it a pretty cool place to live as they go?
It's a very interesting place to live. It's a good place to live. Sometimes I would say the people are not the warmest people on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What do I want to ask about Switzerland? Cost of living really high or low or what?
Cost of living is high, but the salaries are skewed to compensate for that. And the taxes are relatively low in comparison with other European countries.
Okay. By any chance, did you hear what we were talking about, this thing coming up in September?
Yeah, I've been hearing about it mainly on
internet.
On the radio.
On the radio. You
know, on internet radio.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Is JC still with us, or has he left the planet?
You know, it's actually a pretty good question. JC stopped updating his Facebook page about a month ago, because he is a friend of mine on Facebook. So what you're asking is a valid question, and I don't have a valid answer other than what I just told you.
Okay. By the way, Art, I had a question, another thing. Seth Shostak and SETI, they have never shared the data with an external group, have they?
Not that I am aware of, no.
Because if one wants to say, to wonder whether or not they're withholding information, they should share data with other independent researchers and allow others to evaluate the data without Seth being the monopoly king.
All right. Well, look, let me just come straight out and ask you. Do you buy everything that Seth says?
Not particularly, no.
You think he is holding back information?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's just too much. There's too much.
Okay, let me jump even past that. Is it your opinion he's holding back evidence of extraterrestrial contact?
Whether it's him or the organization, I would say yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, you go down as my first caller from Switzerland, and it's really cool talking to you.
It's a pleasure from my side, Art. You have no idea.
Really cool. It's, you might as well be sitting right here. It's such a good connection. Are you a computer, I guess?
I'm on an iPad. It works wonderfully. Skype on an iPad.
Astounding. Thank you so very much for the call.
My pleasure, Art. Be well.
Take care. You be well, too. All the way from Switzerland. What a world. That was Right Track, Then Left Track. I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert, raging in the nighttime, open lines, anything you want to talk about, especially, and particularly, September. Will we make it past that month?
Bell, and it's very late, so I'm sleeping now. But you're awake, so call my daddy because he's awake too. The number is 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Oh, that's my sweetie. That's Asia. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world, and clearly we cover all of it. This is Midnight in the Desert, and you know, maybe I'll just junk the whole idea of guests, and I'll just do open lines all the time. It is so much fun. I'm just kidding. Although I may do more of them. I enjoy them so very much. Here we go. Sean on Skype, you're on the air. Hi. Sean. Attention.
Yeah,
Sean.
Is it?
Yes.
Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, wow, Art. This is an honor.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good
it's
to have you.
It's glad to hear that you're back and you haven't skipped a beat.
It appears not. I don't know. I always worry, you know, before I go back on the air, will I be okay? And it's always there, so I
yeah,
don't know.
But sure, you're back stronger than ever.
Thank you.
It's pretty amazing. Anyway, yeah, good show tonight. But I'm just glad you're back. Other nights, you know, 20 years ago, where I was sitting late night listening to Art Bell, you know, and
a more important and pressing question is: are we doomed next month?
Boy, you know, I'd kind of like to think that we're not. But, you know, like one of your callers said before, there is something in the air. Something's coming. You know,
There you are.
Not too sure what, when, you know, but something's in the midst.
I agree.
Yeah, it's this thing about, about the presidential running and all this stuff. I don't know if that's so much it. I think there's something.
You know, it's just part of it. You mentioned the presidential race, the stuff going on with Trump.
I mean,
it's amazing.
I don't think it's anything along that line. I think there's a weather change. There's all these changes that are going on in the world today, it just seems like everything's coming to a head. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to scare everybody, but I just think that there's just something there. That's as far as I'm going to put it.
Something in the air.
Yes. Yes. Definitely something in the air. And can I say a hi to a friend of mine?
Sure.
Hey, Paul M. Hey, what's up, man? I got on.
Woohoo! Is this like a?
I was calling your show and calling your show years ago, and I could never ever get on, and I finally got on, and I'm finally feeling good. Yes, I got on with Art Bell.
Well, you sound awfully good. Just curiosity, what are you running? Talking to me on?
Oh, actually, I built my own home computer. I'm running, four separate monitors, an 8-core AMD Athlon processor, and it's an awesome setup.
What kind of bus speed?
I'm overclocked about 4.8 on my processor speed.
Holy
4.8 gigahertz.
Holy moly! And you built this yourself?
Oh yeah, I built it myself from the ground up. Oh, yeah, MCI all the way. Or MSI, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sounds really, really, really good.
Awesome. Cool.
Yep, awesome, cool is right. All right, thank you very much for the call. Call again sometime, and I guess if there was a bet, you won it. Let's go to Kimberly. Hello, Kimberly.
Hi, Art Bell.
You don't sound like a Kimberly.
No, I don't.
No.
But I'm from Belgium.
You're from Belgium?
Yeah.
Okay. I would assume that somebody named Kimberly probably...
No, my name is actually Kim.
Kim.
Yeah, but I write always Kimberly.
Okay.
But it's Kim.
Okay. All right. Kim, and from Belgium, that's really excellent.
Yeah. I have do listen a few years to you, and I like the shows.
Thank you.
We don't have that here in Europe.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think Belgium, for example, would not have a show about the paranormal? Because it should be worldwide.
Yeah, I really don't know. Maybe they're not interested in it. I think so.
Well, what generally gets people interested in the paranormal is when something paranormal happens to them.
Yeah.
Anyway, there is this feeling, and it's being expressed worldwide on the internet about something big coming in the next month. Do you feel any of that?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of it on the internet.
Yep.
I don't know what to think of it. Maybe it's just paranoia.
The part that bothers me is it's obviously worldwide. So that would have to be a worldwide something. I mean, what are we waiting for? The sun to blow up or what?
I don't know. I really can't tell.
You heard the way I described it, right?
Yeah.
As kind of an animal in the woods with the predators sneaking quietly up and like that. Yeah. Stay close to your microphone there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right.
It's... PC setup, and I have to stay close to my mic.
Well, one of these days, go out and buy yourself a mic headset. They really work well.
Yeah.
In the meantime, anything else?
It's the first time I come through, and now I don't know what to say.
I know.
I'm happy to talk to you.
And I'm happy to talk to you, too. And it's my first call from Belgium. So now I've had my first call from Switzerland and now Belgium. How neat is that?
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Thank you very, very much for calling. Feel free to call again. Going to the phone lines, Anonymous, I believe it is. You're on air. Hello, Anonymous. This is your chance. Going once. Going twice.
Hello. Yeah, hi, this is Idaho.
Idaho?
Yes.
Okay. You're on the air, Idaho.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions for you, and thank you for so much for getting back on the air. You were my savior years ago.
Thank you.
When I used to deliver papers overnight, I couldn't have survived it without listening. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
That's not why I called.
Okay.
I live 22 miles from where?
You live 22 miles. Wait a minute. You broke up from where?
West Yellowstone.
West Yellowstone. Yes. Has the ground been shaking up there?
Yes, it has been. I worry about that because if the worst should happen,
yes,
I won't even know it.
Well, there is that. I mean, being 22 miles from West Yellowstone, you're right. If the worst occurs and it's Yellowstone, then, boy, you'll just be ash.
Yeah, Yeah. Yeah, and I don't worry about it. I love this country up here. It's just wonderful. I'm originally from Massachusetts, and Western Massachusetts, that is, not to be confused with the eastern part of the state.
Of course not. Well, all right, sir. I hope that things go well for you and that I don't see you falling near me somewhere as ash.
No, no, no. And I, like I say, I don't worry about that. But I, what I do like is the fishing here. I'm in Island Park, Idaho, and the fishing is just unbelievable here. It's what keeps my sanity right now. And anyway, you have a great night, I'm so glad to talk to you.
All right, I'm so glad I talked to you, and soon they'll put a cell tower near you somewhere. Robin, I believe, on Skype. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
You're a little loud, so you can back away a little bit, but I do hear you, sure.
Oh, good. Hi, I just wanted to make a quick call from Berkeley, California.
Oh.
Welcome you back.
Thank you.
And the other night, when you were periscoping for the first time...
Oh, yes.
You...
Actually, it was the second time, but... Okay.
Well, it was the first time you were doing it. It was like several weeks ago.
Yes.
And you had that clock up above you, that clock that you saw at Radio France?
Yes.
I had to laugh when you said that, because I have an app on this tablet that I have that's the same kind of clock. And I, too, saw it at Radio France. I've never seen it anywhere else except in your studio and this app that I've got. But I was taking the tour.
Radio France International. Yes.
And there it was on the phone. I said, that's the coolest thing I ever saw.
Oh, I know. Can you hold on?
Sure.
All right, hold on. We'll talk clocks when we get back. Yeah, it is a cool clock. There's no two ways about it. It's expensive. Cool clocks don't come cheap. But I love it. And I've got three of them, baby. Three.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, this is Midnight in the Desert, exclusively on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, dial 1-952-CALL-ART. That's 1-952-225-5278.
And there are other ways. Good ways, too. I mean, if that man can call from Switzerland, sound like that, you can do it, too. No matter where you are, North America is... MITD51 for Skype. I'm telling you, just put it in your smartphone. MITD51, then hit it, call us. Outside North America, it is simply MITD55. MITD55 right now. Back to our discussion about clocks, actually. Hello there, caller.
Hello again.
Yes. Again, you're a little broken this time, but I think we can do it. So you've got one on your smartphone like this. You don't actually have one of the big ones here, do you?
No, I don't have the physical clock, but I do have the an app on this tablet that I have.
Right. But that's not the same.
Let's see. Let me turn the playback volume down here a little bit.
Okay. No, that's not the same. You've got to have the big clock on the wall.
Oh, I'd like to. Where do you get them?
You know, I'll tell you, but it's like a free ad for these people. I'm going to call them up and tell them, maybe my guy, my sales guy up in Alaska is listening. I mean, they should be advertising with me. BRG. B like boy, R like radio, G like George. Look it up.
It
took me so long to find it, it wasn't even funny.
Yeah, it's a great-looking clock.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you something, or just let you know something. I put Skype on here mainly for this show, in fact, entirely for this show.
Uh-huh.
And also, I got the app that you were talking about the other day for the podcasts.
Oh, how's that going?
It's going real well. I got it hooked up okay. And the nice thing about it is I didn't want something that would automatically, without you being able to tell it to do so, it wouldn't automatically download episodes without you physically requesting them, because there's only so much space on the tablet and so on. So what it does is it gives you a bunch of little buttons, one for each particular show.
That's right.
And you, if you want to hear that one, you click download and it downloads it. So you're not filling up your hard drive or whatever you call it in a tablet with shows that maybe you've already heard them or something.
It is cool beyond belief, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the call. He's right. What we're doing is state-of-the-art through and through. People are working. You wouldn't believe how we're working. We're working on the audio. We're working on the audio for the playback shows. We're working on the RSS feed. We're doing all of this at once. It is a very high-tech network being put together by people who truly know what they're doing. With an awful lot of help from some good people over at Belgab. I mean, it's going very, very well. And if you have not yet seen the RSS feed, so-called, on your podcast player, it's incredible. I mean, even me, I had never seen it. I put it on my iPhone 6, and I almost dropped over. It was so cool. That's all I can tell you. You've got to give it a try. And by the way, if you're not a time traveler yet, and by that I mean with our program, get with it. The price goes up August 20th, and so you can still get in as a time traveler, and you want to do it now before the price increase, because if you become a time traveler now, then you are frozen, grandfathered in at $5. So it's really, really, really a good deal. I can't recommend it enough, and you need to do it now. Before the 20th, before the price goes up. Let us go to Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hey, Art.
Hey there. Where are you, Pete?
I'm in Makati, Philippines. I called you your first night
on. Oh, yes. My first and actually only caller so far from the Philippines. How you doing?
Doing good. It's going good. You were talking earlier about HARP.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell you a story I heard here about HARP. After our big storm down in Tacloban...
Yes.
Filipinos somehow were watching YouTube videos that someone came up with a theory that HARP caused that storm. Have you heard this?
I'm not surprised. I'm sure that that they feel that it did. I personally don't think that it did. Now, what I do think is that HARP has screwed with the ionosphere and may have contributed to bad radio conditions. But, you know, even that's a guess. I don't know for sure.
Right,
weather modification?
Yeah, I just heard this. I thought it was interesting. Now, about this time thing you're feeling.
Well, this thing in September. It's all over the Internet. Have you seen it?
I've heard some stories.
Yeah,
I don't really think it's anything. I just don't feel something inside. But what I've noticed, and maybe since about mid-2005 or so, is that time seems to go faster.
Well,
like, you know, all of a sudden it's August. It was just Christmas, it seems like, weeks ago. And it seems like time over a course just seems to go faster.
Yeah.
And I remember when I started feeling this, I lived in California at the time, and some old timers down on the boat, I lived on a boat, would tell me, it's just because you're getting old.
Well, there is something to that.
So that's all it is. I'm just getting old, and time goes faster now.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
47. Well, when you're 1 month old, then, you know, a day is basically a 30th of your life. So, you know, it seems to go very slowly.
And you remember when you were a kid, summer would breeze by, and Christmas seemed to take forever to get there?
Yeah, of course. But that had to do with the fact that school was coming, and I was dreading it. I didn't really like school.
Yeah,
and I saw it coming like a brick wall, and so yeah.
And you remember waiting for Christmas, and waiting for Christmas just took forever. And now all of a sudden it's August, and we're we're going to see Christmas decorations here. You know how Philippines are. They start in September.
Oh, I know. Everything should be almost lit up by now. They put them on stoplights.
they start early.
Goes everywhere. There's no separation between religion and government in the Philippines, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it here, though. I hope you come back and visit sometime.
Look, well, yeah. Our condo is there and waiting. I maintain the condo in Global City, so there you go.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Excellent. Well, I live in Legazpi Village right near Greenbelt.
All right.
I actually have a meeting in the fort in 3 o'clock. So in an hour and 15 minutes, right. I'll be in your old neighborhood.
All right. Listen, tell everybody, how is it to drive in Metro Manila?
Not as bad as L.A. I lived in L.A. for 15 years, and I still think L.A. I lived on the west side.
Oh, come on. L.A. can be bad, but it's nowhere near like Manila. In Manila, it's the strong survive, period.
The first rule of driving here, there are no rules.
Yeah, he's exactly right. All right, thank you very much for the call. Take care. Yeah, that nailed it. There are no rules. First rule of driving, there are no rules. If you stop for a stop sign, you're probably going to get rear-ended, and that's a fact. Let's go to Corvallis, Oregon. You're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. My name is Bob. I'm a longtime listener, and I got to say that when I first heard you in the 90s, the moment I heard your voice, I stopped and listened. And the reason I stopped and listened is there's something about you. I got in an instant trance of hypnotic, humble open-mindedness, and I've been there ever since.
Really? Yeah, that's really nice of you to say. I don't know. I don't know what to say to that, but thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I wanted to make a comment about Seth Shostak from yesterday and also a topic I would suggest for a future program.
Fire away.
Okay. Well, the thing about Chef Shostak is
By the way, it's Seth. S-E-T-H. Seth.
Seth. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, well, you know, I really admire the work he's doing, and I keep going back and forth as to whether I think there's a cover-up or, you know, we truly haven't heard a single. I don't know what to make of that. What I did want to say, though, is I get very frustrated by anyone, and I know he's a scientist, and he wants, as he said, physical evidence would be the only way he would believe that UFOs are here on Earth. But what frustrates me is just how the readiness to discount any eyewitness testimony. You know, I mean, you take Travis Walton, you know, and I say to myself, you know, take his experience or take your experience seeing a UFO. Or, you know, it gets to the point where if you share so many eyewitness testimonies and the scientists are quick, not just Seth, but scientists discount all of that, it's almost as if, and I said, you know, wormhole question about this yesterday, it's almost as if saying that, okay, does that mean that you would then, if you have such a belief, release every single criminal that's ever been convicted without physical evidence? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just get very frustrated.
Sure. I completely understand. I'm not sure myself about Seth. You know, I'm sure you can hear it in my voice when I talk to him. I'm sort of challenging a little bit, if you will, and, you know, he bounces back quickly, so I keep it up. But I have some doubts, frankly.
Yeah, and I respect him. I just wish that scientists and eyewitness folks, you know, everyone, I wish we would all just, you know, have more of an open mind to work together.
Can't we all get along, right?
Yeah. That's what I meant about your show, about being humble and open-minded, because I just think that that's something that all of us, you know, I think it's a good exercise, and that's the reason I love your show so much. But anyways, as to the topic suggestion, have you ever done a show on self-hypnosis?
No, I have not. I'm worried that, you know, I'd like trance out in the middle of the show.
Well, I won't mention anyone in particular, but I found that self-hypnosis is something that works really well for me. I listen to it at night before I go to bed. And
I do know other talk show hosts who sound like they do that and, you know, sort of trance out.
Well, what I like about it is, you know, it's basically, you know, meditation with self-guided affirmations, and I find it works extremely well. I use it for stress relief. I work in a very stressful job, and it just does wonders for stress relief. There's another topic I love to listen to on Power of Now. It just helps me embrace the moment, and I find that it just does wonders for me, and it's drug-free. And the reason I thought it would be an interesting topic is if you could ever find someone who does self-hypnosis but maybe does some of the cool stuff. Let's say someone who does self-hypnosis to get you to have an out-of-body experience, or self-hypnosis to go back to a previous life, and maybe they might even sell tapes or have them for free. It would be really interesting, and then guests, you know, us as viewers could check that stuff out, try it, report experiences. That kind of angle I just think would be interesting as a...
How about hypnosis for nicotine quitting?
See?
Would that be all right? I do. All right, thank you very much for the call. That's what I would go for. I have gone from... Let me see. Cigarettes, which I dearly love and miss, to the gum, which was okay, then to electronic cigarettes, and then to the little lozenge. They have this new lozenge that you can get. You just put it in the corner of your mouth. None of those, and the patch. Let's not forget the patch. So I have tried them all. And I sort of stick with what I can, but I am still hooked. My advice to you is don't smoke. Don't ever smoke. Don't start. It gets you very quickly. And I'd be willing to try hypnosis. Nobody has ever successfully hypnotized me. I have tried, by the way. Jeffrey, I believe it is. Hello? Hello, Jeffrey? Oh, gee, you're going to miss your chance, Jeffrey. So many people calling. Oh, well, that's life. Ciao, brother. Let's go with Scott. Hello, Scott.
Oh.
Oh.
My, I'm so happy you're back.
Yes, thank you.
So I have two suggestions for shows.
Okay.
The first is about consciousness and quantum mechanical interconnectedness in our neurons, and that would be with the physicist Roger Penrose and or Stuart Hameroff.
Okay. I have a number of shows coming on consciousness, not yet with those people. Do me a favor, would you, please, because this really is one of my favorite topics, honestly. Email my producer, and the way you do that is... producer@artbell.com.
Okay. And then I have another suggestion for a show.
Sure.
I know you're pro global warming, but I've never actually heard a scientific debate on any media outlet at all about global warming. And I can give you the 30-second...
All right. Let me tell you, brother, I've got shows coming up on global warming. I would not go so far as to say I am pro-global warming. I just think the science is correct. So I guess in a way it makes me that. It just sounds bad.
Well, I'm a scientist. And I always wonder why the radiative forcing model of global warming put forth by the IPCC filters the solar output using an 11-year linear average instead of the heat capacity of the global oceans, for example.
All right, right. Stop there for a moment and just tell me, do you think that the science on global warming and the proof, frankly, so far, is what you would call settled science?
I think it's actually fraudulent what's been put forward. I've actually read the IPCC report, and it leaves out the only energy storage component in the entire system, which is the heat capacity of the global oceans.
The heat capacity of the global oceans, sir, is rising along with everything else.
No, the heat capacity is how much energy the oceans can hold.
All right, fine, but the actual temperature of the ocean is rising. That's a matter of science.
Not according to satellite data.
Oh, please.
Not for the last 18 years.
Get under some of these Cat 5 hurricanes and cyclones and typhoons that are occurring. And, I mean, what you're saying is just doesn't hold water, sorry.
Well, I was number one in classical physics at the University of California, San Diego.
Congratulations.
I, Yeah, I took cosmochemistry from Hans Suess, the man who discovered we were putting CO2 into, or carbon into the atmosphere.
How many parts per million now, sir? How many parts per million now?
I don't know. We're probably, I'm guessing, 350 parts per million, but I haven't checked it in years.
Like 400.
That may be. But you know, we've continued to increase the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, but the temperature hasn't risen, not in the last 20 years.
Say what? We're hitting record after record after record. Now, that doesn't mean everywhere. That doesn't mean that if you're sitting up in Green Bay soon, you may not say, my God, it's cold, and they talk about global warming. That one doesn't work. You know that.
No, but the data being, there's more than one data set. And there's the data put forth by NOAA, which is adjusting the raw data. And when you look at the actual raw data, the regression line through it shows a very real cooling trend for the last 18 years.
Where does your data come from, BP?
No, you can find data. You can find data. I can recommend, there's a couple of very well-known places. One is Stephen Goddard there's a blog from a guy who posts all this stuff, but it's all government data. And there's also data, I believe, collected in, I want to say Alabama.
All right. Here, listen, we're coming to the end of this hour, and I've got a break, but I'll tell you this. I'm going to have on plenty of climate guests, scientists. So you, at that point, are welcome to call them up and have at them full tilt boogie, all right?
Cool. I recommend Nir Shaviv, astrophysicist from the University of Jerusalem.
Uh-huh. I'll keep that name in mind. Thank you very much for the call. And stay tuned, everybody, because there is going to be a lot about that. I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert.
What's said in the dark stays in the dark. Call Midnight in the Desert at 1-952. Call Art. That's 1-952-225-5278.
Just like over the hill in Vegas. That stuff stays there too, right? Generally. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. I'm Art Bell. This is Midnight in the Desert. Somebody reminding me, Art, RF technology isn't new. That's the best. New to us, sir. And actually, it hasn't been around generally anyway that long, but it's definitely new to us, and we love it. And if you're using it, I bet you love it, too. And what a way to get shows. It is just flat awesome. All right, going to Michelle out there somewhere or another. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, how are you?
I'm so well. Let's see. Let me guess. You're in Japan.
That's right.
How's everything in Japan? I saw a video of something that hit Japan pretty recently, a typhoon. That was bad.
Oh, yeah, we've had a couple here recently, but where I live, we're not getting them because they keep either going east of us or west of us, but never straight through us.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think we've got Mount Fuji kind of blocking the way a little bit.
Yes, go ahead.
Yesterday, I called and embarrassed myself by talking about the Doctor Who thing, which I discovered, thanks to Seth, was a April Fool's joke. And... which I found out later had been reposted by a legitimate website on a different month, and so they didn't realize that it was an April Fool's joke. But to repay for my mistake, I thought I would point out to you that your time traveler is bunk.
That's a pretty harsh word. That's a pretty harsh word, bunk.
Well, your time traveler talked about bringing you a hoverboard from the future.
Right.
They have them now, and that they were being developed by Lexus.
Yes.
This is a news story that went around. There was a video of it. Tony Hawk was helping promote it. He was actually in the video, and they had these hoverboards. And they were new. They could only be used on certain surfaces. But they looked really cool, and they had actual video of it. Well, The whole thing was staged. It was a prank between Lexus and, I believe it was Lexus, and Tony Hawk and some other company
that
created this digital film.
Yeah, okay, but what if in the future Lexus actually does develop something like that? I mean, what
if he
is...
said it was now, and if he was from the future, he should have known that it was fake and not tried to use it as an example.
Well, unless they actually develop it.
Yeah, but he said right now.
Yeah, you've got a good point. In other words, a known hoax should not have been used. He should have picked something. Yeah, I've got you.
I mean, he didn't say, like, next week or in a few months they'll have it. He said right now they have it. You can see it on the Internet.
Good point. Very good
point. So, hate for it. I'm always looking for that one time traveler. You had one on your old shows that called and talked about the year 2001 or 2002, and I went back and I was listening to that on an archive somewhere, and I mean to tell you, it was freakily close. I was getting chilled. I was sitting in my car at work. I used to deliver, and listening to that, and I had chills because it was about 10 years later. And so much of what he had talked about was true. It was back during the mad cow disease and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes. I recall.
That one really just made me, like, just my skin crawled. It was...
There have been some good ones. And also there was Evelyn Paglini, and that woman nailed almost everything she predicted. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's really sad that she's gone now.
It is. It is. And I am actively looking for another witch.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Would you like to apply?
I'm not a witch, but if I was, I'd be letting you know. On show topics.
Yes.
I'll just throw out there, my two favorite topics are the ancient aliens / ancient civilization stuff.
Right.
I just love it. Ever since I was a kid, I've been fascinated with Atlantis and ancient civilizations. Because I went to a Christian school and they taught all this stuff, but it made no sense to me about why there wasn't more before it. And I wanted to know what was going on the world before all this kind of stuff. And the other one was, I really loved the stuff that Malachi Martin used to do, and then other stuff about conspiracies kind of involving the Vatican and those kinds of things. So those are my two big things that I really enjoy.
Well,
I hear you had Graham Hancock on there, and that was good. I kind of wish he'd talked a little bit more about some of the structures and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're working on, so you know, we're working on Robert Bovall now. And, yes.
I'm not sure I've ever heard an interview with him.
Oh.
Maybe I've only heard one.
Oh, well, you're in for a treat.
Does he have kind of a French accent?
He has an accent.
He has an accent.
Yes.
Maybe I've heard him once.
All right, you'll like him. We have many others that are coming up that you're going to love. Trust me.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much for the call from Japan, and Ohio gozaimasu.
Ohio gozaimasu.
Good morning in Japanese. And it is indeed morning there. Okay. My Skype is going berserk. I have never seen Skype. Never have I seen Skype go this berserk. What happens is the people begin stacking up behind each other. And there are so many calling that every now and then it simply throws up its little Skype hands and seems to give up. But let me give it a try. Janice, I believe. Hello.
Hi, Art. How's it going?
It's going pretty well.
Calling from Spokane, Washington. Long-time caller. First-time caller.
Okay. What are you calling on, hon?
Well, I was calling on a tablet.
Okay, here's what you got. Here's what you've got to do. To sound really good. Find the place on your tablet. It's probably like a little hole, you know, where the mic is, and talk about 2 inches away from that in just a normal voice, and you'll sound really good.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, I'm calling you because of. Let's see. How's that? Is that working better?
Much better, and everybody could hear it improve. Yes, much better.
Okay, it's just my phone being weird, I guess.
No, it's good.
Well,
it's
I want
really
to call
good.
About the September, you talking about September.
Oh, yes.
Literally, like I'm telling you, for the past 2 or 3 years, you know that feeling like your vacation is about to come to an end?
Oh, yes.
It's like the last 3 days?
Total
and everything's
bummer.
Moving slow but fast at the same time?
Of course, yes.
I have felt like we're on just the teetering point. And I don't know what it is, but it's in the air, it's in the sky, it's heavy, whatever it has been.
How about this? We're in Tahiti, and we're on the beach sipping these little nice drinks with umbrellas in them, and we're about to have to return to Southeast L.A. tomorrow.
And we know we don't really want to, but we have to. Exactly.
Yes, I know the feeling. So you really honestly have that too?
Oh, and it's not just me. I mean, I'll just randomly talk to people that I've just met. And that's like a constant thing. It feels like something's coming, whether it's some kind of economic collapse or an issue with the presidential race, something, you know, something environmental, some kind of earthquake, pole shift.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me read this to you. This is from somebody named Sarap, okay? Regarding September, lately I've been having the same recurring nightmare. Buildings blowing up in major cities everywhere at the same time. Last night, the dream also included an exploding train in Grand Central Station. I hate sleeping these days.
You know, I haven't had any, like, reoccurring doom dreams like that, but on that note, have you seen the film Jupiter Ascending by the Wachowskis?
You know I haven't.
There is a reptilian, I guess, race in that movie. I've seen it twice now. And, I mean, nothing about the movie, but the voice that they used, there's, like, an interesting kind of clicky tone voice that they gave the reptilian character in that. And I've had reoccurring dreams for the past couple of years where it feels like I'm about to have an out-of-body experience, and I can hear a voice exactly like that reptilian in that movie. Wow. And when I first saw the movie, it gave me the chills. Like, I had to turn it off and walk away because I started having, like, flashbacks of these freaky dreams that I've been having ever since I was, like, 15.
Maybe the reptilians are coming.
I don't know what it is. I try not to think like that, but it's weird too. Like, if you look up in the sky, it everything feels different right now. I don't even know how to put my finger on it, but it's true. And it's almost like at my core, I'm almost, I'm going on 30,
mm-hmm.
but it almost feels like in my subconscious, like, paradigm, I've never planned for a future. I've never had a huge drive to have a career that I'll retire. It's almost like I know that I don't really have a real long one, if that makes sense.
It does. It would be a scaly way to go.
I mean, at 30, I've never considered, like, children, marriage, college, career. Like, it almost just is like, I just know that it's not going to be the way that we think it's going to be in at least 10 years,
I want to ask you, in view of the way you feel about that, how does that, it must affect every aspect of your life.
You would think that it does.
Every decision you make.
Right. And it's weird because you'd think that, you'd think I sound like a bum. But like I said, in the last 2 years, it's almost like everything has been pointing to that something's coming. I had this strange opportunity to start working for a wonderful woman, an entomologist. I have no background in it. I was an art student. She picked me up, and I've been working for her for the past couple of years. And it's like all these serendipitous little things. I've always wanted to see Machu Picchu. She brought me to Machu Picchu. I've always wanted to fly over the Nazca Lines. She took me there. She took me to Tikal. I've been to Guatemala. I've been to the Galapagos Islands. All these things that
it's kind of like she knew you. It's kind of like a bucket list. She knew how to fill it.
Yeah, or, you know, kind of like something was just handing me the things that I knew I wanted to see before I was done. I don't know, but it feels like it. It feels like.
I get it. Trust me, I get it. All right. Listen, thank you for the call. Thank you very much for the call. Even though, I don't know, that was kind of depressing, huh? Can you imagine, I don't know, your entire life being, decisions being made, plans being made, knowing that you're not going to make it? That's really something. Let's go here on the phone line. Say you're on the air.
Yes, Art. How are you tonight?
I'm quite well. Last caller depressed me a little, but otherwise fine.
Okay. Well, perhaps I should let the time travelers go and call you another night. But I heard
No.
Okay. I heard you talking about the long-delayed echo that you heard on ham radio on the 80-meter band.
Let me strengthen that statement a little. The long-delayed echo that I verified, sir, when I was telling Seth about it last night, I moved, you know, the thing you would suspect is somebody recording and playing you back. And so I moved several kilohertz up, several kilohertz down. It came on the same frequency, 20 over 9, again and again and again. So it was nobody screwing around with me. This was a real McCoy, and it's mathematically not possible.
Right, as far as reflections from the moon are concerned, as one caller explained. However, I had an interesting experience on 80 meters, which is 3.5 megahertz.
Right.
I'm a ham. And I was working International Morse Telegraph,
right.
CW, talking to a Russian, and this was back probably 6 years ago, and all of a sudden, I began to hear another station on the frequency, so I stood by to see if somebody was transmitting, and it was my own signal, and it was not the long-delayed echo like you heard, but it was certainly around the Earth. But anyway, that sparked me to write a article for QST, and I had turned on my digital tape recorder and got the digital recording of that, so I was able to, run a fast Fourier transform, do some other analysis on it.
Right. Did QST actually publish?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
And so I started looking into the literature of the long-delayed echoes, and there's quite a history there. A lot of it is in QST, but, it goes back to the 50s or so.
All right. If you have studied this in the cause of time here, what do you think is the most likely explanation?
Well, there I have one more experience back in January of 2013, and this was written up in May of QST 2015. I heard a short delay echo and a second frequency that was almost double the fundamental frequency of the echo on CW. But it would not repeat, except I had to wait 2.5 seconds before whatever the mechanism was that was causing the second echo to reset. Okay, you asked me what people have said.
The most likely explanation.
Yeah. Magnetic fields of the Earth with plasma. They trap the signal. The signal goes around in the magnetic field. Because there's plasma, it propagates much slower than, free space. And that's one of them. The other is the celestial hypothesis of the celestial repeater, where you have Lagrangian point 1 and 2 between the Earth and the Moon. And, some other civilization has inserted a repeater in there.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you very much. That's interesting. The first one really doesn't make sense to me, the laws of physics being what they are. The second one, is a pretty outside possibility that the aliens are out there repeating 75-meter signals, but maybe they're bored. I don't know. Hello there on the phone lines. You're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
My name is April, and I'm a time traveler.
Your name is April, and you're a time traveler?
Yes, but I'm not the kind of time traveler I think you wanted. You see, I'm from the 19th century.
Okay. Well, many of us are, and, we're still here.
Well, I'm physically less than 40 years old, but I was pushed into the future
You're familiar with Nikola Tesla, right?
Tesla, yes.
All right. Well, I was witnessing one of his attempts at, I think he was trying to transmit electricity in Colorado Springs in 1899.
You saw that? You were there?
Yeah, in a sense.
Well,
I was
now,
not
so you sound,
shortly afterwards.
You sound hesitant.
Because it's a really strange experience and people don't usually believe this sort of thing.
Okay, I'm over time for a break. Hold on, I'll bring you back. Wow. Wow. My, indeed. This is Midnight.
Clock strikes 12, and Midnight in the Desert is pounding packets your way on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, please direct your finger digits to dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. I am Art Bell, and this is Midnight in the Desert. Now, check this out before I go back to April. From John, it says, Art, the lady in Japan was incorrect. If she was, she's going to be twice embarrassed. The Tony Hawk hoverboard thing was later acknowledged as a hoax. The Lexus hoverboard is real. It uses magnets and requires a metallic surface. Oh, no. Could she have been wrong twice? Could the time traveler have been right? Speaking of which, April claims to be a time traveler. April, you're back on.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Okay, as I was saying, I witnessed one of Nikola Tesla's experiments in Colorado Springs in July 1889.
Well, I am jealous. I would give my, important part to have seen that.
Yes, I was 15 years old at the time, and I had to disguise myself as a boy in order to see it because they would not let women or girls see it.
Oh, that's true. Women were pretty much repressed then, huh?
Yes. And I can tell you what I remember of what happened. I'm not sure if it's all of what happened.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I don't think anyone actually knew I was there was the thing that... It had a work crew and, all the usual things. But I was just hidden in brush near it. It was a giant tower. And they turned it on, and I remember everything going white and then me waking up and thinking that I had passed out for whatever reason. Hmm. And I woke it up in 1985.
Oh, wow. Well, we always want to ask time travelers how you do it, by what method?
Bad science, apparently.
Did you say bad science?
I think this qualifies as what they call mad science.
Oh, mad science. Mad science. Okay. Can you describe whatever mechanism? Was there a mechanism involved?
Not on my part, not intentionally. I think it had something to do with him trying to transmit electricity, but it could have been regular experiments.
So you think Nikola Tesla may have had something to do with snapping you back there?
Yes. How I came forward in time.
Got it. Remarkable. Okay, has it happened ever again?
No, and at this point, I really hope it doesn't, because it was very hard for me to get used to 1985 when I was young. Now I'm much older, and it would just be a shock to my system.
It was hard for me to get used to 85 when I was actually there. It's a rough year. All right, listen, thank you so very much for the call. I really do appreciate it, and by all means, call again. That was April, alleged time traveler. On Skype... I think it's Michael. Might be Michael. No? Michael. Going once, going twice. Let's go to Matthew. Hello, Matthew.
Oh, hey, Art. Let me turn my radio off
okay.
for a second.
All right.
Sorry about that.
That's right.
I want to give out shout out to Bradley and to Cheyenne.
Okay.
Yeah, you had a flat earther on the show the other day.
I sure did.
The flat earthers are mostly a Christian fundamentalist movement. Somebody called in and talked about the Bible verses they use to justify their insane view.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually a Sunday school teacher, so I know what verses they're talking about. There are two verses from Isaiah, one from Revelation, and several from the Psalms.
Right.
But those are all extremely poetic interpretations. So you have to be really, if I can say the word, a kook to believe this literally.
Well, you know, the part I think that really got me was the sun being 3,000 miles above the Earth's surface. I mean, please.
Yeah.
Please.
I love the show, Art. It's great to have you back on the air.
Oh, well, it's great to be back. It is wonderful, actually, to be back, particularly in a time when, you know, technology has so changed that, well, compared to my last experience on the air, it was hard to hear a lot of the callers, and I think almost everybody in the audience can verify that this is like a whole new universe.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and have a great rest of the show.
Well, thank you for making it, and I do enjoy open lines. They're just plain fun, frankly. Let us try. That'll be short, because we've got a break coming up. Nicholas, hello, where are you?
Hi there, I'm in London.
London?
Mm-hmm.
I got a wonderful shock earlier. I got a check from London, from Barclays Bank. And, you know, when I looked at it, I thought, you know, $390, what's that? Right?
$1.56.
You bet it is. Boy, I went to the bank and I went, yay! So, God bless the pound.
So you said about everybody sort of feeling there's something strange coming up in September.
Oh, yes.
So what do you think that's about?
Well, that's what I'm doing the show. That's why I'm doing the show, sir.
I mean, I don't know. I just think there's something in the air. I think people just, you know, it's society as a whole. I think nobody trusts, you know, government anymore. There's that cynicism and suspicion. And I think it just feeds through into everything. And I think, you know, it's like 2012 all over again, but it never seems to ever come to anything.
Well, clearly, buddy, something is in the air. I mean, there's something in the air. It's all over the internet, call after call. Do you hear that girl a little while ago? That was almost depressing. You know, she knows her life is going to end soon.
I think all our lives are going to end, but we just don't know when.
All right. You want to hold on? I've got to take a quick break, but since you're in London, hold tight. We'll be right back. This is Midnight.
Come on, men and women, Skype up. Call Midnight in the Desert at MITD51. That's MITD51.
Well, this is the first night, ladies and gentlemen, that my Skype, three times, mind you, three times already, has just thrown up its little Skype hands and said, program quits. I've had enough. I have so many names over the screen that it just goes... So I'm forced to restart it, and if that blows anybody out of here, I'm really, really sorry about that. People, obviously, who are ringing when that happens. Skype was probably not designed to have, you know, scores of people calling it at the same time, if not more. Where was I? I was in London. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I think in September, I think there's just probably going to be a stock market correction, and so, you know, that usually filters through, and, you know, if people have got money in the stock market, it all sort of, you know, just...
I don't want to see that happen. I mean, we just went through 2008. What would precipitate it? Do you think China?
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of hot money coming out of China right now. You see it everywhere, you know, property values going up all over the place. They're just buying empty properties and just keeping them empty as investments.
Well, they just devalued the yuan, which means... they're trying to improve their economy, and they're kind of in trouble. If China, you know, used to be if America got in trouble, the world was in trouble. Now, maybe it's true that if China gets in trouble, we're all in trouble.
Well, it's China and Europe, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. You guys, you know, it's kind of looking like you Brits holding on to the pound was not mm-hmm. such a bad idea after all. What do you think?
Well, I was pro-euro when it came out. Now I think I was wrong, so, you know.
Well,
it's like the pound's a good thing. I mean, you've only got to see what happened in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
They had their zombie hotels and stuff, you know. They ended up with, I think, 15% unemployment. Although it's improved, it's like they've, you know, made a good, you know, bed of it. But, you know, I think in Greece it's just
getting... Yeah, I would love to get a call from Greece. I mean, have you been there? How bad is it really getting in Greece? Can you tell us?
I've not been to Greece, but one of the big problems that's not really... I don't think it's reported over your end is all the immigrants coming over in the boats from Turkey. There's the island of Kos, I think. Now, 1 in 10 people is a, you know, an asylum seeker, and they had riots there yesterday.
My God.
So, yeah, there's hundreds of thousands of people are literally just coming over the Mediterranean, and the navies are out there picking these people up and dropping them off in Italy and then making their way up through the Schengen zone. So there was a really funny scene of, like, on the border of France and Italy where the French police were on one side and the immigrants were on the other. And when they walked through, because there's no border control, the French police were, like, you know, picking them up by their arms and putting them back over onto the Italian side of the border.
Well, we're very... American centric with our news here. We just don't hear about that kind of thing. It's occasionally we'll get a story about Greece, but that's about it. We don't get much else. We're so concentrating on the Donald over here, we don't see anything else.
Oh, we got the Donald over here as well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What do you think the world would be like and the United States if he got elected president?
I think it would be a crazy place. I think they'd give him the nuclear button. He'd depress it just to see what would happen if he did it.
Well, listen, my friend, thank you so very, very much for the call. And I've got high hopes for September, but I'm worried. After listening to all of you, I'm now officially worried. I knew that, you know, there was something cooking here, but I didn't know that it was that bad. So... It's all over the internet. It is a sort of a mass consciousness. It may be nothing. It may be people getting each other worked up. I mean, there have been a million of these things that have come along, right? People get worried. A certain date is talked about. A certain comet goes flashing by and people freak out. It may be that. But you can't totally... ignore it. When this many people are upset about something, ignore it at your own peril, possible peril. John, you are on the air on Skype. Hi.
Hi, Art. I want to ask your opinion about something.
Sure.
I've been working in the television news industry since about 1995.
Yes, sir.
And in fact, I think I used to work at a station in Monterey that you used to work at, which is... used to be called KMST, but I think it's now called KION.
Okay.
But my question to you is, back when I was a kid, it was a thing that the family kind of sat around the tube and watched the evening news.
Right.
And that doesn't seem to be really happening anymore.
No.
And my career is based on, I'm a director of television news, and...
Are you? Is that you're currently a director, right?
I'm currently a director in San Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah, I direct the evening news at a station in San Francisco.
Is that a, excuse me for asking, but is it a frustrating job?
It's a very, very frustrating job.
Right.
For multiple reasons, some of which are you have people in my department who have worked for TV news for 20, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with people who are writing the news who are 20 years old right out of college.
Right.
And there's a lot of mistakes that just get on the air, but there's not a lot of accountability. But the question that I really want to ask you is, how do you feel about the future of what we usually consider to be TV news, like families sitting around watching the news. That doesn't really happen anymore.
No, what happens now is each family member individually sits around with their iPhone or iPad and surfs the internet and worries about September.
Right. So people like me who have built their career on being an expert on being an artful director of the news, we're looking at a future of internet-based news, not television news.
It's so obvious, yes. You know, television will still be here. Don't worry too much. The difference is that television, well, for example, as you know, probably, DirecTV was just eaten by AT&T, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that as of now, beginning now, or a few days ago, you could watch all of your DirecTV channels on the internet.
Right.
So that's where it's going, brother. In other words, TV won't go away, but it's going to fragment. It is already fragmenting, and it's going to be served up digitally. So,
how do you feel about the future of people who are right now in college in getting involved in broadcasting degrees?
I would absolutely encourage them to continue. From my point of view, as a provider or an entertainer, however you want to look at it, talk show host, it doesn't matter how our voice gets from here to there.
Mm.
That's going to change. But this talent side of it will always be okay. If I owned a TV station now, I might be a little concerned.
Yes. Yeah. But you're saying that how the information gets from here to there is always going to be important. There's always going to be a need for someone.
I'm not saying there's always going to be a need for TV stations. There's always going to be a need for news, and that
right.
should encourage you. And the news can only get better because right now it's, well, pardon me, but it's pretty awful.
It's true.
But you're probably doing it at a local level, right?
Well, in San Francisco, it's local, but it's, like I say, it's a funny dichotomy because you have people who have worked in the business for 40 years teamed up with people who are 20 years old who are straight out of college, and they're writing the script that the anchors are expected to say, and the anchors are constantly having to monitor what the script is because there's so much errors.
So many
because
errors, yes.
These kids are writing the news.
I so totally get it. Well, that's a fight, I guess, that goes on from, you know, every generation to every generation since the electronic media began. But it is, anyway, good luck.
Thank you.
I wish I had more to say than that, but good luck. TV news is a rough game because it's always kind of a fight between the news division and the entertainment division, and I must say lately that the entertainment divisions of these news departments appear to be winning.
Yeah.
Right? You agree with that?
It's infotainment. It's
infotainment.
What the Kardashians are doing, and it's what...
More important than people starving to death in Greece and whatever.
Yeah, when I listen to you in the newsroom, and people come and walk by me and they think that I'm a kook.
No.
But, you know, I won't stop attempting to open other people's minds to what's really happening in the world and what's really important.
Good for you, and you'll get a story or two through. I've got to run, but thank you very, very much for the call. I really do appreciate it. And by the way, let me take a moment to say that I appreciate the general quality of the callers to this program. And if you're a listener to the program, I don't have to tell you how much better it really is. Somewhere up near Omaha, Nebraska, I think you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
My friend, 79 Trans Am, he wants to say hi. And when you spin his letters around, it says Starman.
Really?
Yes.
By the way, I'm a Trans Am guy. I've got a Firebird Trans Am. It's gorgeous.
Oh, that is cool.
6-speed forward gears.
Wow.
Yeah, ooh. I can't go anywhere without, you know, getting followed like OJ.
That is cool.
You know, they look at a car like that and they go, oh, yeah, town revenue.
Oh, well, I bet. Yeah. I believe that.
Anyway, what's up?
Well, I've had an encounter myself in 2008 or 9. I went up in spirit, and I went into darkness, and I have encountered aliens and Jen. And
let me stop you right there. You said you went to darkness?
Yeah, well, it is kind of like through spirit. I don't know how I got out of my body, but I was up in spirit, and I seen ETs and Jen. And these beings that I seen, the aliens even, and the Jen, the aliens appeared with fur. Instead of just being like a bare skin or anything,
right,
they had fur on them.
What do you mean by Jen? When you say Jen, what do you mean?
Jen are another being that is created by smokeless fire. And
smokeless fire.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I picked up on it because they can change, they shape shift and stuff like that.
Okay.
And the beings themselves, they appear friendly and everything, and they communicate. They knew English very well.
Mm.
And but each of them was trying to present themselves as if they were Christ. And they wanted me to accept them as Christ, and I refused. And being that I refused, that was that was my only way back. And when I came back, I got in a telepathic message. It says, I am the Prince of Darkness, and I got your soul.
Well,
and
then maybe the Prince does have your soul. You went left when you should have gone right.
Yeah, and I came to Jesus, and that very night that I did, one of the beings came and tried to take it back and couldn't. And it was very interesting throughout the years, all the encounters that I've had. And
that's essentially black letter law. You signed a contract with the other one there.
No, I didn't accept them. I didn't. I refused.
Okay.
And when they each presented themselves and there was only one that didn't talk when I was there, and he was ET looking, and he came forward towards me, and that's when a Jen popped out from his head and came up and touched me in my forehead and said, accept Christ, and
away you went.
I refused.
Mm-hmm. You refused?
I refused.
I thought you did accept Christ and everything was okay.
Yeah, I did after when I came back.
Oh, okay.
But in the first experience, that's how they were.
Well, I am getting ready. I'm getting ready to interview a Satanist. That's a show you're not going to want to miss.
Okay.
All right. So it's coming up, and I hope you will call. I am very, very curious about Satanists, and therefore I will do a program. No matter what anybody says, and there will be much comment, I'm sure. Renee, I think it is, on Skype. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Renee from South Texas.
Yes, sir.
And I guess I wanted to share my story since you guys had been talking about like aliens and stuff like that. There was this one time, me and my ex-girlfriend, I was kind of feeling a little bit adventurous, and she lived out in the country.
Yes.
So we ended up taking a dirt road, and me being the adventurous guy, I was like, hey, let's go check it out. She was out here, and we were driving, and I guess we got into an argument, but both of us saw something in the field, and I saw a metallic ball coming out of the dirt, and she saw a camouflage ball coming out of the dirt. So what happened was the thing came out of the ground and started spinning out of the ground and just kind of like right in front of us. Just, I guess it was kind of like trying to see what we're doing.
Why were you fighting?
I guess, stupid stuff.
Stupid stuff. Yeah. That's usually what it is.
Okay. What ended up happening was, we ended up, just kept on going straight, and we saw the metallic thing just go all the way down. It started spinning and drilling back into the ground.
Wow.
I guess like right afterwards, we were just like, did you see that? And she was all like, yeah, it was a metallic ball that just came out of the ground. It was maybe like, I would say the size of a beach ball.
Under Earth UFOs, that's something we're going to have to talk about. We're way short on time. Overseas, somewhere, Morgus or something. Hello?
Yeah, hello, Art. Can you hear me?
I hear you, but we've got so little time. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Romania.
Romania. You are my first Romanian call.
Yeah, I figured I was.
Yeah, you are. You made it. Romania.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
I wish we had more time.
I've listened to your advice, and I took some notes. So here are some of my thoughts, quick. Are we going to hear Michio Kaku again soon?
Oh, yes, of course, of course, of course.
And also, this September thing?
Yes.
Blown out of proportion. Just,
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I really hope so.
Also, who do you think can carry on your legacy when, you know, after you're gone many, many years in the future? Do you see anyone who can pick up from you when you're going to...
Asia Rain Bell is the name that comes to mind.
Well, it's good to know.
Asia Rain Bell, currently, currently traversing the third grade, so she's getting ready.
That's great to hear.
Thank you, my friend. Good night. And all over the world, boy, has this been a blast or what? Midnight in the desert, indeed. That's Crystal Gale. From me to all the time zones, all of you everywhere, good night.